Thank you. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, West Side.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. First, I want to thank Pastor John for this opportunity to be standing here before you all. First, I want you all to know that I set an alarm for myself because I've been warned I have a tendency of just going on forever. It's been a while that I did this, and I am so thankful. And like Pastor John said, it's been a burden. You know, I just want to talk. I want to encourage. I want us to, you know, encourage with what is going on in my life, to use that to encourage others, you know, for iron to sharpen iron. So I just thank God for this opportunity. Well, I have some guide of what the message is going to be all about, but one difficulty for those of us who are not trained or ordained minister is that when we have this opportunity, we tend to go all over the place. You know, we cannot stay structured. So I'm struggling with that. So pardon me if I go astray and just all over the place, but I'll try at least to stay, to focus on the main theme of the sermon. So with that, I'm just going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come to bring your words at this moment, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take full control of my vocal cords, that what come out of my mouth is not of me, but of you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning you use me as your vessel to speak to someone here today. You use me, what comes out of my mouth, to minister to someone. Lord, I pray you take full control. Let it be all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme today is dwelling on the past and pressing on the future. Dwelling on the past and pressing on to the future. And let's just read Philippians 3, 12 to 14. As is customary of Pastor John, if you can stand, please. Yes. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained all these, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I always joke around with the seniors. When you see a group of, this is to you, the younger ones, when you see us standing and talking, a lot of times we are complaining about the present. We keep talking about, oh, remember the 70s, remember the 80s, remember the 90s. And we keep thinking of the moral decadence in the society, how everything has gone, you know, upside down. And you begin, you know, you continue to talk about this. So when you see us standing there, that's what we are talking about. And I always have a joke that I tell, you know, my friend, because I'm getting there, I'm a senior too, whether I like it or not. I always tell them that, well, you know, that's how you know you are getting old, when you keep comparing and saying that the past was better than now. That has always been the case. Go and ask your dad, go and ask your own grandfather. They will tell you, you kids are messed up. Okay? And so shall it be in 20 years from now. Those of you who are under 30, under 40, you'll be saying the same thing. You'll be saying the years 2020, 2015 was a lot better. That is what it is. And so whether you like it or not, you will dwell on the past. You will think about the past. It's just a natural thing to do. So the first thing I want to point out here is that the past is filled with both positives and negatives, right? When you pause for a moment and you look back, you remember things. It all comes coming back. And the positive ones are good, right? You want to dream that again. You remember your wedding night. You remember all those great things when you graduated high school. You know, when you bought your first car and all those beautiful things that happened. And for many of us here, you remember when you gave your life to Christ, how things begin to look good and stuff like that. You know, that's a great thing. Those are the positives, and you also have the negatives. You have the negatives that haunt you. You have the negatives you don't want to remember. You remember, you think back of the loved ones that you have lost in your life. You know, I always hear that this is a season, Thanksgiving, Christmas. You begin to ponder. You remember your dad that is no longer here. You remember that family feast you all had together, okay? And all the good people that is gone, right? This is my own second year, right, of, you know, dwelling on the loss of my daughter. Those are negatives. And you cannot write off the past. The past is the past. It will always be there, good or bad. So the question is, should we dwell on the past or should we not? And I'll get to that answer first, later. But first, let's look at it. What does dwelling on positive past, what does it do to us? Dwelling on, when I say positive, all the good things that has happened, when you dwell on it, it can bring complacency. That is, what do I mean by complacency? It brings pride. Your past achievement could be a deterrent to your growth, your future growth. You know, when you dwell so much, I remember growing up until, I schooled, I grew up in Nigeria, and the educational system when I was growing up is you do high school, and after high school, you do a 2 years, what we call the A-levels, advanced level, you know, before you now go to college. All throughout to my high school, I never failed. I didn't know what it means to fail. So I became prideful. Then I went into A-levels. At the end of 2 years, I sat for that exam and I have F in all the three subjects. And that was a rude shock because I always have it smooth. I became prideful that I will always get it. You know, 3 months or 1 month, I just need to study and all will be well. The achievement of the past became a problem for me. It brought complacency, it brought pride, and that affected me. So many of us are here, we keep looking up to the past, you keep looking up how you grew up, how you had everything, and then maybe today something is not working right, and you keep wondering, me, that I achieved this, that I achieved that. You know, we love sports, everybody here. And you remember, for me, I follow soccer, okay? And I follow the Premiership soccer in England. My team is Arsenal. Yeah, Linda, you know my team, okay? Now, that soccer team, they achieved something no other team has ever achieved. They went a whole season unbeaten. Now, in US, I know in America, the football team, you don't play so many games. But when I talk of a season in soccer, it's 38 games, okay? The season starts from fall and it goes all the way to summer of the spring, it ends. So they went unbeaten a whole season. That has not happened up to today. That was like 2002, 2003. And up to today, no team has achieved that in Europe, okay? Then what happened the following year? They got beaten. They became kind of prideful, and they have not been able to achieve that. They have not even won the Premiership since then, okay? That is what could happen to us in life. As a church, as a body of Christ, I look back here and I remember the great time. I've told a couple, I see so many faces who were not here pre-COVID and stuff like that. We all know what this congregation used to be. Okay, we look back at that, and if you continue to hold on to that past achievement, past success, it can really slow you down. You know, if you look at 1 Corinthians 10:12, if you can quickly turn to 1 Corinthians 10:12. First Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." If you think you figure it out, you figure it all out, if you think I can do all things on my own, I can do all things through my own strength, through my own knowledge, through all my past knowledge, Apostle Paul here is saying, be careful. And if you go back in 1 Corinthians there, you know, before getting to verse 12 there, he talked about the history of Israel. He talked about all they have gone through, all how God achieved a lot through them, all the miracles that happened, and then they became complacent. They thought it will always be like that. They went away from the Lord. And he's now telling them, learn from their history. Don't be prideful. Don't be prideful. Don't think because I got it yesterday, it worked out yesterday, worked out 10 years ago, it's always going to be. That is where complacency comes in. You familiarity spirit, that's what I call it. You now start taking God for granted. Okay, you start becoming lazy in your spiritual life, your walk with God, because God is always there for you. We can go on and on in the history of the Israelites. They are very, very good at that. They forget God, you know, when everything is going smooth for them. And then they will have a wake-up call. They will come back again. And soon they go back again. So we have to be careful as followers of Christ, not to be complacent in what we do, to look at the past and not say because we've achieved so much, it's going to always happen again. Okay? Now, the past is also filled with When you dwell on negative past, it brings discouragement. So I've talked about positive, then you talk about negative past, it brings discouragement. And what do I mean by that? Many look at their past, all the stuff that has happened. If you are a believer and you look at the negatives, you begin to wonder, I've prayed so much, and yet this happened, that happened. You know, you wonder why. You want to say, well, there's no point praying again. Okay? Or if you are still searching, you look at it that, hey, I've done so much evil. I've been a bad guy. I'm sitting here, you guys don't know me. You are talking of this, you're Jesus, and you think I can be redeemed? If only you know what I've done. If only you know what I've done. So you continue to dwell on that past, and you think you are not redeemable. You know, the person, the verse I just quoted from, this is Apostle Paul. Do we all know the past of Paul when he was Saul? He was the worst of the worst, right? I mean, he was actively seeking out believers to kill them, to persecute them, to get them jailed. And then God arrested him. Okay, so God arrested him and he wrote the highest number of books in the scripture. He became the number one advocate for Christ, the Christ that he was persecuting. That is how God used him. So I'm sure you are not as bad as Saul or as Paul. Whatever your situation, you couldn't have been as bad as him. He was there when Simon was stoned. He was the one that ordered it, right? He was there. That was what he was doing. To the extent that when he got converted, when God arrested him, when his first attempt to go back to the believers, they were scared that, no, it cannot be. It's impossible that this guy is here to spy on us. This guy is here to find his way, you know. It took a while for them to believe him and get him into the family, you know, to be one of them. So when you dwell on negative past, it brings discouragement in what God is calling you to do. When God called Moses to come and lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses was like, I'm a murderer, you know. I stutter, I cannot talk well. He kept looking at his past. He kept looking at the negatives, that how could me who killed somebody, how could you be calling me to lead these people? I've been on the other side, living in the palace. Now you are calling me to go. They don't even trust me. He kept dwelling on that negative past. When God called Jeremiah, he said, I was too young, God. It cannot be me. So many of us here, are you dwelling on that negative past? How is that working for you? Are you dwelling on, where is God when my daughter was sick? Where is God? How come I prayed every day? I'm your child. I prayed every day, and you did not heal her. And she's gone. Are you dwelling on that forever? And because of that, you are not going to press on and live for God? I'm talking to myself. And there are others here. You are going to your own issue. You've lost loved ones, not as an unbeliever, as a believer. And you wonder why. Why, God? Why would this happen to me? I trusted you. I prayed, but yet it happened. Is that enough to turn your back at God? Is that enough reason to say, no, I'm done. I'm not coming back to church. No, no. He is God. He is Almighty. Yes, I have questions for him. Okay? And I'm looking forward to the day when I'll get that answer. Okay? That should be our attitude. Whatever happens, he is God. That is what, you know, the past, once again, is filled with positives and is filled with negatives. Okay, so what do we do as Christian? There's this proverb in Yoruba language, that's my language back in Nigeria. It says that when a child stumbles and falls, he looks forward. But when an elder falls, he looks back. Okay? Now, that kind of sound contradictory that an elder looks back, but a child looks forward. An elder is expected to be matured, you know, experienced with life. When he falls, he looks backward. Looking backward for what? To learn from past mistakes. To see, why did I fall? It's okay. So what I'm saying is that it's okay to look backwards, that, okay, what happened? What did I do wrong? Is it me? Or is it God? Is there a lesson to learn from the past? Good or bad? And then press forward. You don't stay and continue to dwell on the past. I know many seniors here, I'm not going to mention them, when phone came out, they said, I'm not going to ever get a cell phone. Okay? I'm not going to ever get a cell phone. That is getting stuck in the past. Okay? Is cell phone useful? Then we even graduated from just the flip phone. We go to smartphone. And then some say, well, I'm not going to ever get a smartphone. Okay? Huh? Now, look around. Is there anybody here without a smartphone? I remember when long time ago, we came to the, to Sunday school, and one member came out and said, hey, I have a testimony to give. What's your testimony? I send a text message to my daughter today. That was the testimony. That's somebody who have seen the light, who have seen the future, okay? Technology is good. We have to imbibe it. We have to take the good out of the bad, okay? When I left Nigeria and came to Libya, the Lord put it in my heart that you are going to United States. I've heard so much about United States. And I said to myself, I said, okay, I'm going to hold on to the good things about Nigeria, about my culture, about my values in Nigeria. And I'm going to fuse it with the good things in America, the new culture. I'm not going to join them in what is bad. And that has been my focus since I came to the United States. I mean, many of you that know me, I always talk about what is good in my culture back in Nigeria, And I hold on to that. Values that I think is good, I hold on to it. And then here, I talk about the good values that is in this country. So I've been able to fuse it, pass it on to my children, and to anyone I can, I have influence over. So that should be our attitude when we look back at the past. Hold on to what is good of the past. Learn from it and move on. And stay focused on the future. So now, the second point there, I said, shift your focus to a future of living to please God. You know, in the verse, Philippians 3, 12, 14 that we read, prior to that, in verse 10, Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul wrote that, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So there is a goal for each one of us as a Christian. And that's what the future holds. And Paul started there that, in verse 12, that not that I have already obtained all of this. No. When Paul says he has not already attained it, who are you to say you have attained it? For as long as you are on this planet Earth, on this side of eternity, it's a race. The goal is to be more like Christ. Every day you live, to be more like Christ, to know Christ, to be like Christ, and to be all Christ has in mind for you. That's a key word, to be what Christ has in mind for you. So, the question is, what does Christ have in mind for you? What is your goal of living? That's a question each one of us have to ask ourselves. You know, I'm going to digress a little. Many of us here don't come to Sunday school class and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a place where we share a lot. When I'm standing here, when Pastor John is standing here, it's one way. You don't get to ask questions. You don't get to talk. If you talk, I'll say, please be quiet. It's one way. But when we are in Sunday school class, sometimes the teacher has a lot to say. We don't even allow him to talk. Okay. You see, my dear friend sitting here, she's quiet now. But in Sunday school class, God help you to make her to be quiet. It's a place where iron sharpens iron. You can ask any question. There's no stupid question in Sunday school class. Now, some may think, I know it all. I know it all. I don't need to be in Sunday school class. Okay, please come. Come and share what you know. Come and teach us what you know. And some will say, I'm too shy. You know, I don't know anything. They are probably going to ask me to read the Bible, or they are going to ask me a question about the Bible. No, nobody will ever put you on the spot. You be yourself. You can decide to see through and not open your mouth throughout. But as you get to know others, as you get to become, you know, you have friends around, that's how you You begin to open up. And it's a place where you grow because you learn from the experience of others. We pray for one another. We start with prayer, we end with prayer. And you can bring all those things that burden you. You bring it out there and we share. That's one of our purpose as a Christian. The future for us is to live as Christ has in mind for me. And that can go love, you know, a long list. If we look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 to 14. Okay, where's Colossians? Colossians 1, starting from verse 10. It says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, this is one verse that talks of what we live for. To please God, to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Every way is not just when you come here. You know, our life should minister to others. In the society, people should see us and know there's something about Fobi. There's something about Jamie. You know, and something that is worthy of emulation. They see some good in you. The way you talk, the way you carry yourself, the way you conduct yourself. We are different. We have our values that is different. That's what it's saying here, a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Every way. And then bear fruit in every good work. You know, earlier today in our Sunday school class, a new word was thrown into my dictionary. Jamie, how did you say it? Advocate. Advocation versus vocation. Okay. Well, go figure that out. Basically, in summary, is that we're talking of what you do, you know, in the secular work, right? How does it fuse into your work as a believer? And that brings me to another topic of us coming together as a body of Christ. We have a duty, and if I may read, I think Hebrew 12, let me quickly look for that, and I'll continue. Let me find my verse, and I'll continue. I think it's in Hebrew 12. Hebrews 12, starting from verse 10, 19 to 25. I'm not going to read everything. But it would tell, you know, this talks about perseverance. And it says in verse 24, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Okay? One of our purpose, one of the future that I want us to focus on is, let us not give up meeting. Some, like I already talked about Sunday school, and then, and encourage one another as the day approaches. You see, your secular world, the skills that you have, and you begin to wonder, why do you have this? We come together as a body of Christ. If you think it's not just the pastor that serves or the deacon, you serve in different way. That is part of your calling. That is part of the future. Bring your skill set to the church, to this body here. How can you be useful? We have Bernard over there. He's an electrician, right? The last time we had issue, we called upon him. I have my friend here, Zach, who is the master where you want to lay. He's a master in laying floors or whatever. That's not his daily, I don't know, but he's skillful in that. I was happy when we had the last work day, and he came. That was when I realized, oh, so you are good at this. And now he's in trouble. He cannot run away. Any work that involves all this carpet or whatever, you call on Zach. Okay? And I know Mr. Johnny, who can do all things. Now, one of the encouragements for us this morning is that I just mentioned Johnny Blair. He's been doing it forever. Okay? And I'm glad younger person like Zach is coming on board. So I encourage others who are here. You have skills. You have skills that can help the church. Some are getting older. They've been doing it. Please come on board. Come and join us. Come and join us. Now, no skill is useless. When they laid that floor, all I did was to make coffee. I came, my presence, I made coffee, and I was glad they called me to pray. Well, I did two things. I prayed and I laid coffee. And I was an errand boy. Go bring that. I go bring it. You know, take that over there. Let's come together as a body. There's none for us to do. We have that sign up out there. There are positions. Okay? I know I'm digressing, but it's a good digression here. A lot of times, people come, and this is for you. Maybe you are coming here for the first time, or you are relatively new, and you are looking around. Oh, they don't have children's church. Okay? And because of that, you are not staying. You leave. What about you join us and help us start that children's church? You know, when you leave, that is one child that is gone. What about you stay? It could be your child alone at the beginning, others will join. I remember they told me how Awana started. I mean, I wasn't at this church then. Oh my God, that means I have 10 minutes to go. Okay. I mean, they told me how things got started here. It didn't just start from day one. They didn't have all the departments functioning. People came together. They work together, and we are here. The church went through a decline. pre and during COVID, but I look around, I thank God that we are coming back. We are coming back. I mean, the other time I was in the Sunday school and I smiled to myself, I said, praise the Lord. I look back that I only knew three other people and we were like 20 in the class. And I look back that, oh, only three of us were here pre-COVID. All the other people are new. So I see the cup as half full. Not, that's the way I see it. It's going up, it's coming up. But we need everybody to be on board, to come together. So I'll begin to wrap up here. Never stop focusing on Jesus. That's my third point here. Never stop focusing on Jesus. That is the future for each one of us. It's a repetition of the first one, but I just want us to know that it's a race. It's an endurance race. It's a long distance. Okay? You have to stay focused. You have to persevere to the end. Whatever may be going on, the past is gone, but let's focus on Christ. Let's focus on Jesus. You know, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the goal. Yes, you have questions, but don't look back. When you look back, it's just to learn from what may have gone wrong. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2, I'm not going to read that, but the summary says that a Christian life involves discipline, diligence, hard work. It requires us to stay focused, to give up anything that endangers our relationship with God, to give up any distraction. You know, any distraction, we have to endure to the end. It's not about you, but Christ. We are running for Christ, not ourselves. And if you are running for somebody, you keep your sight on him. Like I said earlier, our focus is on our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all we have to do all the time. You know that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Whatever the circumstances, no turning back. Good or bad, no turning back. That is our decision. Let us focus on Christ. Let us focus on him and persevere through. He is the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. We cannot do anything on our own. It's only through him. So as we round up now, I just want to implore you. If you are here, you are sitting on the fence, meaning that you are still checking out Christ. You are still checking out whether he is sufficient for you. You are still dwelling on my past. What you will lose if you turn. Or is it true? Can he really do it? I want to encourage you. Please, try Jesus. Try him. He never failed. He can help you in all things. And for you who are a believer, who is struggling because of what has happened in your life, because of where you think the Lord has failed you, I encourage you, no, please don't turn back. Hold on to him. He is God. He is Almighty. He will perfect in due time. You know why. You are going through what you are going through. And don't stop praying. Don't stop assembling with fellow believers. Come, let us reason together. Come, let us share the scripture together. Come, let us look and seek for the answer together. Come, let iron sharpen iron. I don't know it all. Pastor John doesn't know it all. But we keep on looking up to God. We keep on praying. That's what I will encourage you to do. In your personal life, in your individual life, and collectively as the body of Christ, we need each other. This local assembly here, we need you. There is a role for everybody to play. Okay? If you look back to the first church, to the early church, they were doing everything together. They never forsake the assembly of one another. Please, COVID is gone. Okay? The days of I am online, right? The days of watch the message from home, it's gone, please. We need to come right here. Not just Sunday, there's Wednesday activities, there's evening once in a while, and there is work day. We have work day where you come, we have fun. We eat, we work together, some of us laze around, but we are encouraging others who are working. Okay, it's fun. Come and experience it. Whatever they say is going on, just come. You don't have to do anything, trust me. But if you are like me, your guilt will make you do something. But just come first, okay? So, as we round up now, I just want to pray. I want to pray, and first, I want to pray for those of us who are here, who are yet to know Christ. Pastor John and the music, you can come around. So I want you to take a moment to think where you are in Christ. I want you to take a moment to think of your journey with Christ. Are you pressing on? Are you stuck? Are you stuck where you are? Is life looking like all around you, nothing is working? Whatever your situation, or are you high on the mountain and you think all is good? You don't need God again. I pray whatever your situation, that you hold on to Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the encouragement that has come in your word. We thank you that you open your word to us and you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that we know there is no other name like your name. We know that you are almighty. You never fail, you never change. You are worthy of all adoration. We can trust you, and that's what we are doing here today. If you are here today and you have not given your life to Christ, if you are here today, I beseech you this morning, I plead unto you, take a time now. This is a time to make that decision. And if you are ready, say these words with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me and you rose again. I accept you as my personal Savior and Lord. Please come onto my heart and guide my life. In your name, I pray. Amen. If you have said that prayer, you are a new creation. The old is gone. That's all it takes. Just say that prayer. And the rest is to start that journey with the Lord.